If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah! Woo!
One day, if you're a girl, you look in the mirror and there they'll be. Instead of a flat chest, two bumps. These are the beginnings of your breasts. And they're not there just to look pretty. They're useful, too.
I literally used to go to bed at night and pray that I would wake up in the morning with big breasts.
Well, that's because you have big jugs. I mean, your boobs are huge. I mean, I want to squeeze them. Mama!
I love fake boobs. Oftentimes, you find them on strippers.
First, tell me what's going on with the boobs.
Boobs. Oh, my God. Boobs. Oh, my God. Boobs.
I want to squeeze them.
Hello, those are my breasts.
Nice melons.
I like boobs.
What?
I like boobs. Big boobs. Love them.
Yeah, they're pretty popular.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Marijuana is delicious.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Roll another one.
Smoke weed.
Just like the other one.
You are so faded.
This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine, dude.
Roll another one.
Do you have any marijuana I might be able to buy from you?
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to end.
Butt hash.
I don't have another cent.
I guess if we're gonna feel anything, we should smoke a whole bunch of it really fast.
Now.
That's right, they're breasts.
Au naturel, baby. That's how I like them. Swing low, sweet chariots.
Our feature presentation.
Not sure how we got started on that song. Probably Bean, but...
It was, of course.
I would never have ever really listened to that song ever. Now it means so much.
I know, it does, right?
It's just the best thing in the world when you hear it, because you know it's Friday.
When we had Robert Bradley in and yes. performed it, that made it so much better for me.
Did it? It was cool.
The original artist, yeah.
What was that?
The original artist.
Oh, okay. I'm just the original artist. I wasn't sure what that meant.
How dare you?
You're right.
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good. You know.
What were you doing last night?
Last night, I was really not doing much.
Okay.
Really not doing much.
All just, right.
I didn't sleep much.
So. Okay.
You know how that goes.
Well, tune in, everybody. It's going to be a good day.
Yes, it is. We're going to take your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. You call, you get on the air, and you get a prize.
Sorry, you must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
And if you get on the air today, you get a pair of tickets to the Strike Force Live on Wednesday, June 16th at the Nokia Theater and Live.
Hey, just, before we get started,
just for calling in,
can I ask what is up with bicycle racing on television? Who's watching the bike races?
Got me.
Who's tuning in for the tour of California to watch guys ride bikes?
Is there one
for
now
days?
Yeah, isn't Lance Armstrong in that?
I don't know, but I just know that Versus that carries hockey during the playoff season. I'm watching more Versus now than I ever have before.
Me too.
because of the playoffs, and they are just so excited to bring you guys riding bicycles around California. Could not be more excited. It's like the Olympics over there in Versus. They're so proud. So much advertising. So much in your face promotion for, hey, it's the Tour of California. These guys are going to ride bikes for hours at a time, and we're going to bring it to you live.
It is ridiculous. It's a ridiculous spectator sport, but I will tell you, much like pool or long-distance running, if people who are into it they watch it and they love it. You know, the endurance athletes sit there and they'll watch that as if it's...
How big is that
group? You know, I mean, how many people do you see riding their bike around Southern California on the weekends with their full gear on?
Fine, if you want to participate in it, I can understand that. You like riding bikes. Who's watching other people ride bikes? How is that television?
I can't listen. I don't know.
Even pool, I can understand, because you watch a guy make a really tough pool shot. You're like, wow, that's impressive. Guy just riding a bike.
Yeah, Versus is a great channel.
Bunch of guys riding a bike.
Yeah. My other favorite is fishing. They have fishing shows, and you just go
watching a guy fish.
Right.
That's what you're doing. Look at yourself when that happens. Get up off your couch, go to the nearest mirror, and say, I'm watching a guy fish.
Fishing is boring enough if you're doing it yourself, but let's say you like fishing. Still, man, watching it on TV cannot be possibly be good, but that's what Versus has,
they're
man.
They're sitting and throwing back beers. Right?
Yeah,
what you're doing.
Could be.
To actually change the channel.
There's a lot of the stuff I could watch while I'm drinking beer. A lot of stuff. First of all, porn.
Sure.
Secondly, porn. Mm-hmm. Third, really bad movies.
Yeah. All of the above. All right, let's start with Danny. Who would like to ask a question? Hey, Danny.
Danny, what'd it do?
What'd it do?
Oh, what'd it do, baby?
Oh, what'd it do, Danny?
Yeah, I was just wondering if you guys heard it. I heard something on I read it on an actual MMA website that Brock Lesnar was supposed to be making a comeback in, like, within the next couple months or something like that. Do you guys hear anything about that?
He's fighting.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I wish I could remember who and when, but he is going to fight.
Yeah, there's a scheduled fight.
Oh, I didn't even know that. That's what I barely saw, and I was just wondering because I didn't know if he was all healed up yet or anything like that.
Yeah, that guy is just a mountain.
Yeah,
among guys that are huge, he stands out as being just crazy big.
I don't think I ever heard. What was his health issue? What was the thing that was his biggest problem?
He was pregnant.
Well, really? Yeah. I had no idea.
I never got any clear-cut answer, and I'm curious as to, even if he is, he's a freak. He's huge and he's talented.
Yes.
But at this long of a layoff, Ralph, don't you think ring rust, it's like times 10?
Yeah, I can't imagine getting the ring after this much time off, even for an athlete of his caliber.
And then some of his intestines or something?
Yeah, it was something abdominal.
I got a lot of vague sort of answers like that, but I never found out what his deal really was.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
Usually you can find that out. Let's go to Danny with the hopeless call of the day. Hi, Danny.
Hey, morning, Ralph. All the best to your daughter.
Thank you so much,
Danny. What are your thoughts on the LeBron coming to the Clippers? They have the best team.
A lot of Clippers fans would like that to happen.
I think it might happen.
I got to tell you, when you see the team that will be around him, that may be one of his best choices.
Yeah.
But here's the problem, though. You have Donald Sterling, and bad owners ruin everything.
Yeah, you're right.
So a guy like LeBron's going, I could go to the Clippers, but then I'm going to be caught up in that whole thing.
Here's the thing. If LeBron wants to be the man someplace in a big market, the Clippers is a great choice because, obviously, he will be the centerpiece of that team and will be made king again here locally with Clippers fans. But if he wants a shot at a ring, he may want to look elsewhere.
Yeah, but Miami's the only place I can see where he might do well. I mean, New York got rid of everybody that's good.
Yeah.
Chicago, you know, they're not very good. Basically, a team to afford LeBron has to get rid of everybody else they have. So who knows? July 1st is when we
I'd love it. I think it'd be great for the city.
If Blake Griffin comes back healthy and LeBron joins that team, that's a very good team that can contend in the West right out of the gate. But like Kevin and Ralph said, the culture of losing is so deeply ingrained into the Clippers. I don't see LeBron going, yep, that's it, this is where I'm going. Even if it does make him the man, which it would. Yeah. He would be the man in Los Angeles. Yeah. He would outdo Kobe right out of the gate.
It'd be like Tom Brady going to the Raiders.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You
know? Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, he's going to be the man no matter what. I mean, wherever he goes, he's the man.
Yeah, but there are other high-quality, high-profile players that he could play with if he chose to.
Yeah, sure. All right, let's go to Christina. Hi there. What'd it do?
Hi, what did you nephews? What did you baby do?
What'd it do?
Well, I was wondering, did anybody else think Justin Bieber sounded like a 14-year-old girl?
Just in general or one performance?
Well, Ralph, you saw him on American Idol, right?
First time I have ever heard him, I saw him on the American Idol Results Show, and I was blown away by how lackluster his talent is. I think that would do 14-year-old black girls a disservice to say he sounds like them.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Okay, good.
Oh, sorry, I must have lost you for a second.
Oh, that's okay. I'm saying I don't think he sounds even that good.
I don't think so either. But I heard from you guys he was a boy, and I was like, it's a boy?
And then I thought it was a white boy. I thought it was a little black girl.
Well, yeah. He hasn't gone through puberty yet. Maybe his voice will change.
Maybe that's why. But my boyfriend and I cracked up for like 2 weeks.
Yeah. Sure looks like a little lesbian, that's for sure.
He does.
He really does. Maybe that's why Ellen had him on.
Yes, she was attracted to him.
Yeah, maybe.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate it. Let's talk to Sarah with the ridiculous call of the day. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Hi, Sarah. What'd it do?
What's going on?
What'd it do, nephew?
What'd it do, niece?
Okay, so my boyfriend's really into UFC and MMA, and he heard that Spencer Pratt is planning on doing a fight in 2 years.
I am all for it.
I hope that happens.
Brock Lesnar.
I hope he gets his, you know what, beat.
Well, there's no option other than that. I mean, that would absolutely happen, but I want to see that. That would be the greatest pay-per-view. I wouldn't care what they would charge.
Awesome.
$500? Yes, I'm watching.
Don't you think that came from I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Off Out of This Island, or whatever that show was, where he said I train.
Well, apparently in the show, he was saying that he's a black belt.
Right.
Yes.
Jiu-jitsu or whatever. And everybody in the MMA community just thought it was pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Him literally training for real and stepping into the ring never happened.
This is just him getting people to talk about him again. Because God forbid, for 5 minutes, someone isn't talking about him.
I'd like to see him fight Heidi at the UFC, actually. I'd like to see those two go at it.
She would kick his ass.
She could smother him.
Let's go to Tony. Hi, Tony.
Hey, what it do?
What it do?
What it do, nephew?
Hey, what's up, Lisa?
Hey.
What's happening?
Hey, I have a problem, guys. Biggest Laker fan ever.
Great.
But I need them to lose.
You want them to lose? You are the biggest Lakers fan ever.
Yeah. Well, I have a problem. I've been wearing the same underwear since their third loss. Their third win to Oklahoma City. I think it's been since the 27th, the last month. So, even though I wanted to win, I'll go ahead with my dirty underwear deal. But
yeah, you have to do your part. Yeah. And if wearing dirty underwear is how you do your part, then you have to do that, my friend.
Yeah, you know, I do what I got to do, but I mean, I'm just afraid if they lose, then you know, they might not get it back. So I mean, Phoenix is a good team; they can go on a good run here.
Let me ask you a question though: how do you know it was your underwear? How do you know the night they won, whatever night it was that solidified this? How do you know it wasn't your shirt, your pants?
Well,
your shorts.
You know, it's always something different every time. You know, I mean, I go through a certain series of things before every game.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It seems like the dirty underwear thing sticks.
Yeah, I bet it does.
It really sticks. It literally sticks.
Yeah. Throw it against the wall.
Are you married or anything?
No.
Yeah, I'm married. Yeah,
You're not married.
You're not.
Come on.
No wife would let you get away with this.
Wait, how many kids do you have?
I have three.
Oh, man.
Wow.
So, you know. My wife loves me, though. She's a Laker fan, too.
Listen, here's the thing. If you're a Laker fan, just put up with the dirty underwear. That's your lot in life.
Lakers are getting their knees drained. They got injury problems. They're hobbling around. All they ask of you is just put on your underwear.
Do you think any of them have dirty underwear on?
Yes.
No.
All of them.
Can you guys explain this to me? Because I've never understood all this. Couldn't he wear the same underwear but wash it?
No. Then you wash all the mojo out of it, Lisa. What's wrong with you?
It's not the underwear. It's what's in
the
underwear.
What the hell kind of question is that?
It's that you don't.
I don't understand.
God damn you.
Here's the thing. When your team is winning, you don't change anything. So washing them, you're changing it completely. That might as well put on a different pair of underwear.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry for you.
All right, we're going to put you on hold. We want to take your phone number, and then we want to check back with you during the playoffs and see how the underwear thing is going.
We're
going to call you Smelly Butt Tony, okay?
All right, Smelly Butt.
You're doing good work.
Thank you, Smelly Butt.
Wow, that's not... if I were him, I would go, must be the shirt. I wouldn't choose the underwear.
No, God, no.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Pick another part of that outfit you're wearing that night, right?
Right, exactly.
Although I did shave my playoff beard, and then last night the Flyers got their asses kicked.
You're right. You had your playoff beard yesterday, and then they got beat. Hmm. You didn't do your part, man.
I didn't. So I'm telling you, stick with the underwear. I regret my choice to shave my beard.
There's no choice. The underwear is stuck to him.
Let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
Okay. Nope.
Gregory Itzen, who plays former President Logan on 24. They have the series finale coming up. We're going to have him on the program today.
All right.
Movie Beat, because it's Friday.
Movie.
We have Seth MacFarlane on the program talking about the Family Guy finale.
He's great.
The big Star Wars episode this weekend.
We have Adam Carolla this week in Rage. We have Weenie Roast tickets for you. We have Michael Stevenson, who has done a documentary on the best worst movie ever, and it is great.
That he also starred in.
Troll 2.
So he would know.
He would know.
He would know, yeah. And we have Henry Ian Cusick.
That's right, brother.
Who is Desmond.
That's right, brother.
I'm lost.
And I see you in the next life, brother.
I finally caught up on this week. So that when Sunday, when the 75 hours comes up, I'm ready to go.
Jack's the man. How cool is that?
Jack is the man.
He drank from the cup. He and Jacob are one. Bring it on now, bitches.
I heard in New York there's some guys in a bar watching all the episodes before this weekend. It's like 140 hours or something.
That's a great idea. Guys. Get good and drunk before the finale. That'll help you understand
that's
everything.
That's guys that want to spend 3 days in a bar drinking.
That's quite possible.
That's all that is. So anyway, we got that coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. A quick break and we'll come back with the Showbiz Beat. Now. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 5:54. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and Ralph is here with our first look at Showbiz.
Okay.
A little too late.
All right. Can I get a little camera over here? There we go. Brett Michaels from Poison told him he should have laid down.
Now what?
He's back in the hospital.
What happened?
He had a stroke.
A new one? This is not the same as last time, right?
That was a brain hemorrhage before.
Now a stroke.
Now it's been a stroke, what they call a warning stroke.
Oh, no.
Dude,
he went into
down.
The hospital, and further tests revealed he has a hole in his heart.
Wow.
Brett's doctors say both conditions are treatable, and this is not a result of his recent brain hemorrhage. But I can't imagine it helped that he was up and around and going on the Oprah show.
Look, I watch House. There's something going on. This is all related.
We're gonna get
the
team together.
Ah,
yet
13.
Yeah,
run a CBC and get me a lab stat. Doesn't look like he's going to be well enough to make the final episode of The Celebrity Apprentice or do that concert in Mississippi on the 28th like he thought he would. So, more hospital time for Brett.
Wow,
that sucks.
Sorry, ladies. Terrence Howard is officially taken. Apparently, he had a secret wedding.
Really?
Last January here in Los Angeles.
That's the way it should be.
He and his girlfriend, Michelle Gent, tied the knot, but they decided to keep the secret for a couple months. Keep it from everybody, just to kind of stay below the radar. So, congratulations to Terrence Howard. Meanwhile, on other Hollywood relationships, Dominic Cooper and Amanda Seyfried are through. People Magazine has a source that tells them the hot young couple has taken a break, but they're the best of friends.
That's
great.
Nice.
And they look forward to spending some time together as friends. This is a great story. I hope it's true. George Lopez, comedian? Question mark? Apparently likes the working girls.
Oh, no.
One of them by the name of Tiffany. Aren't they all named Tiffany?
They are.
They should be, because they're all jewels.
Oh, God.
Wow. Tells the National Enquirer that George paid her for a little nookie and even tried to invite one of her friends in on the action. There are reportedly text messages that support this story that Tiffany will be releasing soon. Here's the thing. George Lopez is married, and he is very vociferous about what a family man is and what a great husband he is.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, George's wife did give him a kidney back in 2005.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
Bad enough.
Without it, he would have died, right?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's bad enough.
Wow.
I would sue for that back.
That you're horking around on your wife, but then she also gave you a kidney. You kind of owe her, don't you?
Wow.
Yeah, all those privileges, whatever they were, are long gone.
Yeah. So there you go.
Wow. That seems bad.
On every level. Russell Brand. How's that new movie coming out?
Yep.
Going,
get him
to the Greek, right? Mm-hmm. Apparently, he cannot keep up with the United States Marine Corps. He was telling David Letterman that he embedded himself with a squad for 2 days to see how he would do, but he could not handle the schedule.
I can imagine.
He does not strike me as the Marine Corps kind of guy.
No.
He had to hike 10 kilometers at 3 o'clock in the morning his first day, lugging a backpack that weighed 70 pounds. And he said, no, this is not going to happen.
You get the idea. He wakes up at 4 in the afternoon, right?
Yeah,
at best. Speaking of Russell, his fiance Katy Perry.
Oh, my God.
Is that still happening?
Yeah, sadly it does. says that with her upcoming wedding, she's had to cut out some of her favorite foods in order to get thin enough to fit into her wedding dress.
Okay.
She strikes me as the kind who was fine. I don't know why
she's
she would have to lose weight.
Curves in all the right places. Yeah. She doesn't need to lose the weight.
You know what she had to cut out that hurts her the most?
What?
The double-double from In-N-Out.
Oh, that is good.
Legendary Southern California burger joint, yeah. In-N-Out.
You cut something else.
Yeah, you find something else.
You don't.
Cut up a leg.
Yeah.
You have to. You don't give up the double-double.
That's right.
And along those lines, interesting list of ways that some of today's high-profile celebrities stay thin. Kate Hudson uses a three-week cleanse. For 3 weeks, all she does is drink a combination of lemon juice, cayenne pepper, and other stuff. That's all she does is drink that.
So, and the cleanse makes you just run to the bathroom, basically.
Yeah. Ugh. You're also starving yourself to death by drinking lemon juice and cayenne pepper.
Yeah.
Ugh. Isn't that supposed to be a much shorter-term thing? Like, not like a three-day thing?
Some people have lost a lot of weight on it. Renee, I mean, I don't know if they keep it off, but...
Renee Zellweger substitutes food with coffee. That'll do it. Just drink coffee all day long.
And coffee's good for you.
Yeah.
So...
Jennifer Aniston, of course, we heard eats baby food, the baby food diet.
That's true.
And Lea Michele of Glee takes B12 injections. I don't know how that makes you lose weight. I guess
gives you energy.
Yeah, and B vitamins also helps metabolize that stuff. But so she's taking the injections.
All right.
When is she going to start?
How dare you, sir,
Mike?
Did you see her the other week when she was doing that ballet number? When
her body
looked great.
She's awesome.
Mike.
She wears those little skirts.
Mike. Douche. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Mr. T!
Yeah!
Pity the fool. Pity the fool don't buy me a birthday card. Pity the fool.
He's the best.
He sure is. We have had him in here, and he is just he's just a ray of sunshine. That's what he is. In a mohawk. He's sunshine in a mohawk.
That's correct, yeah.
He's 58 years old today. Actor Judge Reinhold is 53. Actress Lisa Edelstein from House.
Yeah!
Come on now.
Cuddy from that television program is 44 years old today. Is there a better looking 44-year-old television right now?
Wouldn't think so.
And actress Fairuza Balk.
What?
From Waterboy.
Did she get the bell?
Yeah, she gets the bell. She's cute. She's 36 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to the world famous K-Rock at 6:08.
Come on.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph, very excited today.
Ah. I'm beside myself. This is like Avatar and Iron Man 2.
Wow.
And like a really good porn movie coming out all at once.
You know, we say that there are bad movies at times, and they're bad enough that they come around to the good scale.
Yes.
Well, nothing has ever been worse or come around further than Troll 2, in my opinion.
Troll 2, according to a bunch of websites, including Rotten Tomatoes, where they take all of the critics and just kind of average them together.
Mm-hmm.
The worst movie ever made.
Well, it does have a zero average, if that means anything.
The single worst out of all the bad movies. And there's so many bad movies.
There's not one critic that was able to say anything nice about it?
No.
Wow.
Got a zero.
As they mentioned in the documentary about Troll 2 called Best Worst Movie, it fails on every level. Acting, screenplay, music, direction, you name it, it fails at that level.
Cinematography,
and the combination of all those things somehow makes this gem of a movie that you will just fall in love with when you watch it.
It's bizarre, and it's one of those things that caught fire.
It has become a cult favorite. People have started going and watching on midnight screenings all over the country, and it's been initially it was passed around like VHS from fan to fan to fan, and it just built this base that now is nationwide.
And we have one of the stars, Michael Stevenson, is on the phone. Hi, Michael.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How are you?
Great.
Michael not only stars in Troll 2. Which, what was it, 1980, Michael?
1989.
Okay. Not only stars in it, but now is the director of a brand new documentary about the fan base behind Troll 2 called Best Worst Movie that opens up here in Los Angeles today. And, Michael, I got to tell you, when I first heard about this project, I said, this is kind of sad because this is a guy who was in a bad movie and he's desperate to reclaim some sort of spotlight, and so he's made this documentary. And then I saw the documentary. And it is freaking brilliant. You did an excellent job directing this documentary.
Thank you.
Couldn't be further from the I want to reclaim my...
It's not about you. Yeah. It is about the phenomenon that is Troll 2. And I got to tell you, when I first saw it, I told the guys here at the station, it's almost like a Christopher Guest movie. You wouldn't believe that it is real. The richness of these characters and the storyline, the arc of this story is... one of the funniest slash most touching slash most wincing films I've seen in a long time. Congratulations.
Hey, well, thank you. That really means a lot. It's actually, it's funny that you mentioned Christopher Guest, because when I started making the documentary, I had this feeling that the story had the potential to have elements of a real-life, Christopher Guest movie.
Right.
Yeah. Well, it certainly does.
Everybody, most of the people in it aren't actors, right? That dentist guy.
No, in fact, most of the movie is actually a dentist, George Hardy.
Dr. George Hardy is the lead in the film, who was, I guess, sort of wanted to be an actor, but he was a dentist at the time, and he got the lead. You and I guess the girl who played your sister, Holly, were really the only two professional actors in it, right?
I don't know if I would say that we were professional, but yeah, we had actually had agents at the time. Believe it or not, in Salt Lake City, Utah, there were talent agents.
Wow. Yeah. Tell us what the storyline is.
Behind Troll 2?
Yeah.
Well, basically, my family decides to take a vacation to the countryside. So we go on a house swapping exchange.
Right.
With a family in this little town called Nilbog.
Nilbog!
Nilbog!
And we arrive, and little do we know that this town is actually inhabited by vegetarian goblins.
Right.
Whose entire plot is to turn my family into edible houseplants so that they can then eat us.
Right.
Right.
That old story.
Yeah, I've seen that 100 times.
Yeah.
Right.
And so in order to turn them into plants, they have to get them to eat this special concoction that they make there in Nilbog, which is the most unappetizing food on the planet. If they wanted you to eat something, they should have made it look better than that green slop they were trying to get you to eat. And the Nilbog milk, of course, that they want you to
sure.
have.
Ew. Here, drink this.
And at one point, this is the kind of film we're talking about, at one point... Michael's character, in order to stop his family from eating the food that will turn them into houseplants, gets up on the table and pees on their meal.
That's right, and I should actually tell you guys, a lot of people don't know this, but it was not written that way in the original script. The original script actually said that I act possessed, and I'm supposed to stand up on the chair and start screaming and act possessed. And the day we were shooting, the Italian director, Claudio Fragasso, he pulls me aside, and he's looking at the script, and he goes, possessed, boring, you stand up, pee on the table.
Nice.
When you see this documentary, folks, the director, Claudio Fragasso, he is a character that you almost think had to be written. He is such a bizarre, out there character who is completely deluded about the quality of his film work, apparently.
Well, maybe we just don't understand Troll 2.
Well, now, that's what he seems to think. It's that it's our lack of awareness that keeps us from appreciating the true art of Troll 2.
And by the way, how many trolls are in the movie?
There are zero.
Zero, right?
Zero trolls.
It's not actually related to Troll in any way.
They're all goblins because Nilbog backwards is goblin. That's what you need to know.
Come on.
And Michael discovers that at one point in the film.
Which they put in Guitar Hero 2. I mean, that Nilbog shows up everywhere. Now, Michael, you've met the director, that Italian director, many times, I'm sure.
Right.
Other than the movie. Right. He crazy. Right? I mean, it sounds to me like he honestly thinks he just made Avatar.
Well, that's the thing that's, I think where the charm or this Troll 2 magic really lies is in its sincerity, and it's not just him. We all thought we were making this great horror film when we made this 20 years ago, and it's that earnest kind of genuine sincerity that I think lends this kind of bizarre charm to the film.
Speaking of bizarre charm, Michael, what is the name of the actor who plays the guy who runs the general store there in Nilbog?
Don Packard
is another one of those characters in this documentary that you think has to be made up.
Amazing. Like, we had no... it's one of those things that when you start making a documentary, you hope to get these great characters. And I actually remember Don, when I was filming as a 10-year-old, and being quite frightened by him on the set.
Well, yeah! He's scary looking.
Yeah, and then all of these years later to show up and interview and start talking to him and find out that he actually wanted to kill me as a child...
Yeah. That's why you were scared. You were right to be scared.
Right.
We've got a little clip from the documentary. Here's Don talking about the fact that he was in a mental institution at the same time he was filming Troll 2. I kid you not.
I was in the mental hospital at the University of Utah, and they gave me days off to go out. I called my agent. She said, they're shooting a movie out in Park City, an Italian film company, and you go out there. I won't charge you if you get the part. I went there. They said, come back again. And when I came back, they said, the person who was supposed to do it didn't show up, so you can do it.
Yeah. So he checked himself out of the mental institution and went to the set.
And then he would shoot, and then he would go back to the mental institution, which is crazy.
Yeah.
It is crazy.
And to make sure that he could operate on the set, apparently he was self-medicating, too, from what I understand.
That's right. He smoked a lot of pot.
Yeah. Yeah. He said, that's... Oh, we have that
I think
clip.
We got that clip.
I forgot we had that clip. Yeah.
I smoked an enormous amount of pot then to stay sane. And when I got on the set, I had no idea what it all meant or what I was doing or what I was saying. I don't know where we went or what we did, and I had no idea of what the total movie was. And I didn't see it until 20 years later. And I was amazed how creepy I looked.
Yes, and still
did.
Do, Don. But there's a great moment in the documentary where Don decides he's going to go to one of these screenings to see what it's about, and you can just see him light up when the audience applauds for him. It really is sort of a touching moment, even though he is obviously just out of his
mind. This is the best day of my life.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's just, it's crazy. Now, where is this playing in Southern California?
Yeah, we opened tonight at the New Art.
New Art, okay.
We opened in New York last weekend. And believe it or not, tonight, George Hardy, the dentist, he flew in for the opening, and he brought his entire dentistry staff. So they will be there tonight.
Will they be cleaning teeth during the screening, Michael?
Yeah, perhaps teeth whitening session.
Oh, like, great.
Any sort of dentistry concerns. I mean, he'll be addressing those as well.
Apparently you guys are doing a Q&A, right, at the screenings tonight?
Right, after the 7 o'clock screening and the 9:55 screening.
And tomorrow as well, Saturday night as well?
That's right.
That's great. And then tonight also, after... You guys are going to screen Best Worst Movie, the documentary about Troll 2. There's a midnight screening of Troll 2, right?
That's right. There is a, at midnight, there's a 35mm screening of Troll 2. So for people who haven't seen Troll 2, this is your chance to see it on the big screen. I should say that the documentary, you know, you don't have to see Troll 2 to enjoy the documentary.
That's true.
In fact, I actually think that people who have gone into the documentary blind and have no idea about Troll 2, get even more out of the film.
Well, I hadn't seen it when I saw the documentary, Michael.
And, oh, wow.
And I hadn't seen Troll 2, and I really enjoyed the documentary. But I'll tell you, the documentary will make you want to go see Troll 2.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what happened for me. I watched your documentary. I was fascinated by it. I wasn't aware of Troll 2. And then I went out and got Troll 2 to watch it. And it does kind of enhance the experience of watching the movie
right.
fresh for the first time after you've seen the documentary. That's for sure.
Right.
Nope. It's 20 years old. Can you buy it on DVD?
Yeah, you can get it on DVD.
You can, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, you can get it on DVD. It's actually available for free on Hulu.
Oh, yeah, you can watch it on Hulu, too.
Wow. Yeah. They pay you to watch it. That's how it works.
But, Michael, I wanted to have you on because I really, when I saw the documentary, I said, you should be congratulated for putting that thing together. It is it's a great piece of work, and I hope it gets – it's hard, I know, to get people to go see a documentary a lot these days with the big blockbusters and stuff in the theaters. But I really hope that it gets the attention it deserves because it's really a great piece of work.
Guys, it's really an honor to be on the show. And, yeah, you know, it is a challenge to get people out to see documentaries, but – not only, you know, this is a documentary about a dentist and trolls or goblins or the worst movie ever made.
Yeah.
It's a fun, I almost guarantee that whoever comes out will smile and will laugh.
Somehow it's watchable.
Right.
It's the worst movie ever, literally, and somehow it's watchable.
Yeah, people love it.
That's the weird thing.
And the documentary, like I said, if you've enjoyed the Christopher Guest movies like Best in Show and Waiting for Guffman, those kind of movies, this is a real life Christopher Guest movie that Michael's captured in his documentary called Best Worst Movie, and it's definitely worth finding this weekend.
All right. Thank you, Michael, for the time.
Thanks, guys. It's an honor.
Nilberg.
Bye.
Bye. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Seth MacFarlane, the creator of Family Guy on the way, Movie Beat on the way. We have Desmond.
Yes.
That's who I'm looking forward to. Henry Ian Cusick is going to be on the program today talking about Lost. I'm a little more lost than most. I just watched this week's episode last night.
Okay.
And I have many questions, and I don't have a lot of answers.
Yeah, I'm not good at that stuff either.
Here's the weird thing. Everybody that I run into has a lot of theories about stuff, and I ask, what about this? What about this? What about this? And they all have a theory. If right. somebody were to ask me, what about this? I would go, I have no idea. So there is actually, you know, the series finale is this Sunday night. And there is actually an ABC Lost Information Helpline.
Oh, that's awesome.
So if you, like me, need to be caught up, you know, this is the place to call, and hopefully we can get some answers
well,
before.
Well, they know.
Right, before this Sunday's series finale. So
okay.
Let's dial this up. Ooh, scary.
Hello, and thank you for calling the ABC Television Lost Information Helpline. This Sunday, we at ABC are proud to present the series finale of one of television's most acclaimed programs, Lost. But we realize that you, the viewer, might need some additional information to clarify and enjoy the final 2.5-hour episode.
Excellent.
If you would like a brief biography of a particular Lost cast member, press 1 now. If you'd like a brief description of one of Lost's key characters, press 2 now. If you'd like some clarification regarding the plot of Lost, press 3 now.
That's what we want,
yeah,
right? Okay.
Exactly.
You have chosen Lost, Plot Assistance. If you would like a brief synopsis of a particular episode, press 1 now.
Mm-hmm.
If you would like an abridged overview of a particular season of Lost, press 2 now.
It's bigger than that.
If you would like the answers behind some of the mysteries that have not yet been answered on Lost, press 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42 now.
Those are the numbers.
Well done.
Yeah.
You have chosen Answers to the Lost Mysteries.
Right.
And kept the Dharma Swan Station from imploding. Just kidding.
All right.
The producers and writers have tried their best to answer all of the mysteries of Lost in its final episodes.
Okay.
But naturally, a few are left remaining. We at ABC understand that your finale viewing experience might be aided by having the answers to some of these few mysteries left over from Lost's 6 seasons.
Fantastic.
Choose from the following list of mysteries, and please wait for the entire list before making your choice.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to know, what is the significance of the numbers 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, and 42, press 1 now. If you'd like to know what the four-toed statue is, press 2 now.
Hmm.
If you'd like to know what the significance of all the polar bears on the island are, press 3 now. If you'd like to know why pregnant women can't give birth on the island, press 4 now.
Another good one.
If you'd like to know what Aaron's significance is, press 5 now.
Oh, yeah.
If you'd like to know what happened to Walt, press 6 now.
Oh.
If you'd like to know what the Hanso Foundation is, press 7 now. If you'd like to know what's in the missing footage from the Dharma training film, press 8 now.
All right.
If you'd like to know what the Egyptian symbols were that appeared in the hatch when the countdown went past 108 minutes, press 9 now.
What was 2?
If you'd like to know why Jack ended up so far in the forest after the original plane crash, press 10 now.
Okay.
If you'd like to know why Jack's dad's coffin was empty, press 11 now.
Okay, that one.
If you'd like to know why Hurley was in the mental institution in the first place, press 12 now.
What was 2 and 5?
If you'd like to know why Desmond is immune to electromagnetism, press 13
well,
now.
Well, that's a good one, too.
If you'd like to know why Ben Linus has access to such massive sums of money, press 14 now.
All right.
If you'd like to know how the Dharma Initiative found the island when no one else seemed to be able to, press 15 now.
I don't remember
all. If you'd like to know who the woman was who raised Jacob and the man in black, press 16 now.
That's a good question.
If you'd like to know why Jacob knew he would eventually need a replacement on the island, press 17 now.
Well,
if you would like 12? To know who built the temple, press 18 now.
I don't remember
if you'd
the
like
temple.
To know what dark forces claimed Saeed, press 19 now.
All right.
If you'd like to know what Rousseau's research party was all about,
dear
press 20 fine. Now.
Wow.
If you'd like to know why the smoke monster left Rousseau alive after killing or claiming the rest of her expedition, press 21.
Maybe
now.
I could just hit them all.
If you'd like to know what the significance of the hand-carved ankh inside Hurley's guitar case was, press 22 now. If you'd like to know why Jack's neck is all bleeding all the goddamn time, press 23 now.
What was that about?
If you'd like to know how Jacob got off the island to visit the candidates before the crash, but no one else seems to be able to leave the island, press 24 now.
Okay.
If you'd like to know why Ileana 24. Was bandaged up when Jacob recruited her, press 25
That's
now.
A good question, too.
If you'd like to know how Richard travels to and from the island so goddamn easily when no one else seems to be able to get off of it, press 26 now.
All right, I'm losing
track. If you'd like to know why Richard Alpert and the rest the others did not move through time while Sawyer, Juliet Faraday, and the rest of them did. What was that about? Press 27 now.
now.
27.
If you'd like to know why the room that holds the moving island wheel is so cold, press 28 now.
All right.
If you'd like to know what 28? Happened at Jacob's cabin, press 29 now.
All right, 29.
If you'd like to know why a sonar fence would stop the smoke monster, press 30 now.
That's a really good question.
If you'd like to know how Mr. Echo faced down the smoke monster and then killed him later for no apparent reason, press 31 now.
God.
If you'd like to know how the farmer's food drop plane knew how to find the island, but no one else can see if we find the island, press 32 now.
I'm trying to.
If you'd like to know what that vision of Hurley's friend Dave was all about, press 33 now. What was that horse that Kate saw? What the hell was that all about?
What was that
34
about?
Now.
That's a good point.
Why was Vision of Walt talking backwards? Was Walt dead or was he alive or he was just talking backwards? Nobody knows. What was that about? Press 35 now.
I thought you were the
what
helpline.
What made Locke mute immediately after the hatch implode? Why couldn't he talk? What was that? They never explained that part. He's 36 now.
Wow.
Why does Daniel Faraday, who has both his parents who are both British and he lived in England his whole life and went to Oxford University, why does he have an American accent? Press 37
That's
now.
That's another great question.
Oh my
How
God.
Did the others get the names of all the survivors when they first crashed on the plane? What do they have, like an extra extra list of people who were on that plane? Press 38 now.
Right.
Why did Sawyer and Kate get a message in the post-island flash forward when Sawyer was still on the island? How did he get a message to Kate? What happened there?
That's a good
That's
question.
39.
39.
How did the smoke monster tell Ben and Locke to move the island back in season 4? Why did he do that? And why did he want to move the island? Nobody was coming after the island. Press 40 now. What was the sickness that Darwin Initiative was vaccinating people against, huh? What was it? Tell me, goddammit! Press 41 now.
I thought you were supposed to
What was that thing the others were having Kate and Sawyer build when they had them locked up in the polar bear cages? What was it, like a runway or something? We expected a plane to land?
That's
How about
true.
That? How about that? Answer me that!
Look, we're coming to you for
God
answers!
Damn it, the show makes me nuts!
The H1N1 vaccine is proven to be safe and effective. It's not too late to protect yourself. Visit cdph.ca.gov. Okay. It's cdph.ca.gov to find a vaccination location near you. Remember, it's up to you to stop the flu, people.
Yes, it is.
All right. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
At least they're making it easy. All right. Thank you, Lisa. This is the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. It is 6:58. Time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
I had lesbian sex with Kate Moss.
You did?
You did?
Says Courtney Love.
Oh.
Oh.
Really? Kate Moss?
Kate Moss the model? Supermodel?
Yeah. Couldn't she make another choice?
Easy. Easy.
Well, both of them are fond of certain things.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying.
Let's ask this after Weeding Rose.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying.
Excellent choice, Kate Moss. That's what I meant to say. Yeah, Courtney Love, in an interview, by the way, the combination of those two things, always, something good always comes out
She's
of it.
She's the best because she has zero filter.
She really does. She said she had a lesbian fling with Kate Moss. Let me read you her quote, shall I? It was Kate Moss. She doesn't care. Courtney said, it's a great story for the grandchildren. So, yeah, Kate wasn't doing a lot of drugs. It was just a thing that happened in Milan in the 90s. It happened, it was fun, and whatever. And she talks about it, so I hope she doesn't get mad that I outed her about it. I feel like such a kiss and tell, but Kate's great, though. Kate's a good friend of mine. I almost bought Kate's house in St. John's Wood in London. Well.
She just goes off on tangents.
Stream of consciousness.
It was a nice house. I visited there a couple
of different
times.
I don't know if that was part of the transaction or something. Huh. It's like, geez, this is a really nice house. I think I'd like it, but let me see what it feels like when I have lesbian sex in it to see if I'm really at home here or not.
And is this the story you're going to tell your grandkids? I mean, is that the one?
She will.
I had lesbian sex with?
Yeah, maybe it is. Mm. Olivia Munn is leaving Attack of the Show. Nerds cry everywhere.
Aww.
She's good on that show, but she also was only there half the time.
She was always off doing other stuff anyway. So I guess it was just a matter of time. Yeah. Apparently she's got a new job. She will be starring in a sitcom on NBC.
No kidding.
A romantic comedy called Perfect Couples. I give it 6 episodes.
They don't generally do well.
No, they do not.
But at least the networks give them plenty of time to find
right.
an audience.
Right.
So you got that going for you.
Now that Megan Fox is not going to be the female lead in Transformers 3, it has suddenly become one of the hottest parts in Hollywood. The studio has announced that they are looking for a new actress to step in to play a new love interest for Shia LaBeouf's character in the third installment of the popular franchise.
Odette Yusman.
And guess who desperately wants the role?
Lindsay Lohan.
Heidi Montag.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no.
They would never do that.
She has made her desires known that she wants to star in Transformers 3.
Awesome.
Well,
That'd be sweet.
She is a Transformer. Yeah. Did you see the pictures before and after?
Yeah, it's true.
She looks like she went from Mini Cooper to big rig.
You would you would almost have to go to that because it would be so bad.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if they actually casted her, you go, all right, I'm in.
Let's call it Troll 3. Put her in that movie. Apparently, she's currently campaigning for the role via the Twitterverse.
Sure.
She tweeted this week that Michael Bay is a brilliant genius. She tweeted.
That's not sucking up.
She said she would like to star in the film. A friend says she's got one big problem, though. Her body, since her plastic surgery procedures, is extremely fragile and may not be up for doing an action film.
Yeah, running
she
and
can't
hiding.
Run.
And
she can't run. She can't talk. Her jaw, she's constantly in pain. So that might not be the thing for her.
They have a role for somebody in a hospital bed throughout the whole thing.
Hospital bed that turns into like a Ferrari.
She can have it.
That'd be awesome. Today's celebrity birthdays. Mr. T, a pit of the fool. Watching the trailers for the A-Team?
Yes, they look great.
Look great.
Awesome.
Yes. Can't wait. What is that? This summer, right?
This summer sometime. Probably more early weekend, I'm
guessing. June 4th.
Oh, June 4th.
That's what I'm hearing.
He's got that from DNN?
Yep.
The Dave News Network?
Yep.
Mr. T is 58 years old today. Actor Judge Reinhold. What would you know him from? I guess probably the Beverly Hills Cop movies best, right? He was the cop who was partnered up with John Ashton, who worked with Eddie Murphy in those films. He's 53. Actress Lisa Edelstein from House plays Cuddy on that show. She is 44 years old. And actress Fairuza Balk from The Waterboy and The Craft. She is 36 years old today. Where's the bell? There we go. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We have your tickets for Weenie Roast. If you'd like to call in, 1-800-520-1067. We are going to play a game here in just a couple of minutes. You've got to be able to recognize the song. So if you'd like to go, feel free to give us a call. Also this hour, we're going to talk to Henry Ian Cusick, who plays Desmond on Lost.
Yeah!
We're going to ask him how the series ends.
And we have a lot of questions,
which
actually.
Which is Sunday night, 2.5 hours long. So good times. We've got that coming up for you.
Okay.
First the Afro line, 323-520-AFRO. You can call on any topic and leave us a message. Yep, that's not it. That'd be cool if it was.
Right?
It's an answering machine that you can leave a message 24 hours a day on any topic.
So my girlfriend, she had an extra smooth face today. And I said, did you get a facial? She said, no, but she was watching 3D porn.
Wow.
That was a callback to a story where a girl told her boyfriend that she got pregnant by watching 3D porn.
Yes.
And I don't think he bought it.
Sarah Jessica Parker, transvestite donkey witch, whole space hole. She makes me want to be gay.
Yeah.
Not a lot of love.
Well, we had an argument with Jay Moore about that because he says we're all being ridiculous. She's hot.
Well, he's met her.
Yeah.
None of us have.
Right. But
he says she's really, really
nice.
That's
never stopped us from having any kind of an opinion.
You're right.
Though,
that's true.
They're tight.
All right. Okay. That's a good chant. We need to keep that. As you know, DeJuan did a singles video.
Mm-hmm.
And Psycho Mike was there kind of coaching him through, asking him questions. And Dave was the photographer.
All right. And can you say one last thing for us into the camera?
Yes.
Airtight? Go ahead.
I'm tight and I'm straight.
This is DeJuan Amir Johnson. I'm a Slurpio, I'm tight, and I'm straight.
Then there's a text to landline feature.
I'm a Slurpio, I'm tight, and I'm straight.
I love those.
I think he's going to get some interest off of that.
It's quite possible.
I really do. I think that video is going to really work for him. And finally...
So I'm driving home and I listen to the radio when AC/DC's Highway to Hell comes on. And the only thing I have in my freaking head is, screw you!
Asking nothing, leave me be.
Classic.
Time.
think there would be someone who Sam had better pitch and timing?
No. No, never.
It's unbelievable.
No. 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and we have a big show coming up Saturday, June 5th at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater. We are talking about Sublime with Rome, Stone Temple Pilots, Hole, Silver Sun Pickups, Devo, Paramore, Deftones, and a lot more. And it's time to give away some tickets, but you're going to have to identify songs and bands, bands and song titles. Okay. And we're going to do that with a little game we like to call Hawking the Hits, based on Stephen Hawking, who, of course, is an astrophysicist. And I believe he has ALS, is in a wheelchair, he talks through a computer.
Yes.
And he's going to sing some songs for you.
A guy who's lean, a guy who's clean, a guy who talks with a machine. It's time for Stephen Hawking now, Stephen Hawking now. It's time for Hawking the Hits.
Stephen Hawking.
Hey, Stephen.
Hello, Kevin and Bean.
How are you today?
I am paralyzed.
Right. Knew that.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So still paralyzed?
Yes.
All right. Good. But you can still sing.
Of course.
I hope so.
I can jam. I can drop mad beats.
All right. Take it easy. Okay. So we're going to get some listeners. Stephen is going to sing a song. Then the listener has to tell us the band and the song title. And we will begin with DJ. Hi, DJ.
Hi, good morning.
Are you ready for Hawking the Hits?
I think as ready as I'm going
to
be.
All right.
Baby, you're a big blue whale. Grab the reef when all duck diving fails. I swim but wish I never learned. The water's too polluted with germs.
Sublime Bad Fish.
Yes,
nicely
done. How about that?
I sounded just like them.
You didn't sound anything like that.
I'm still better than Omar.
That's true. Sonia, hi.
Hello.
Are you ready for Hawking the Hits?
I'm sorry. I had to take you off speaker. I'm driving.
Good. Thank you for taking us off speaker. All right. Here it is.
Yeah, they really want you. They really want you, but I do too. I want to be the girl with the most cake. I love him so much, it just turns to hate.
Oh my God. It's not celebrity skin.
Correct. It's Hole and it's not celebrity skin.
Another giant hit, massive hit, come on.
Big, big song title, which is... You're going to kill yourself.
Oh.
All parts.
Yeah, they really want you. They really want you.
That was not supposed to be a hard one.
I have some doll parts.
Is that right? Trevor, hi.
Good morning.
All right, you ready for Hawking the Hits?
I hope so.
Here you go.
One time a thing occurred to me. What's real and what's for sale? Blew a kiss and tried to take it home. Isn't it you? Isn't me? Search for things that you can't see.
End in song?
I have no idea.
Oh, that would be STP Vaseline.
One time a thing occurred to me. What's real?
You know what I find out? I find that guys don't know lyrics very well.
That is true.
That happens all the time. Stephen, you have ALS, right? Am I correct on that?
No, I have AOL. You can reach me at robotfriend@AOL.com.
Okay. Okay. Let's go to Adrian. Hi, Adrian.
Hi, what's up?
Doing Hawking the Hits. Here we go.
Go get your shovel and... Are you a robot, too?
Yeah, what's
that? I have it on speaker. I can barely hear him.
All right.
Well don't have it on speaker.
Take it off speaker, then.
Okay, it's off speaker.
All right. Stephen, let's try one more time.
We'll go get your shovel, and we'll dig a deep hole to bury the castle. Bury the castle. Go get your shovel, and we'll dig a deep hole. We'll bury the castle. Bury the castle.
Come on!
Okay.
Yeah, that would be Paramore.
Glad wow. He didn't win.
Me too.
Right. I wish I could use a shovel.
Let's do one more. If Allison doesn't get it, that means DJ's our winner.
Yep.
Because he's the only one that's gotten it so far. All right. Are you ready, Allison?
I hope so. I've been waiting to get these freaking tickets.
All right. Take it easy.
Keep talking.
Yeah.
I'm starting to feel some movement below my waist.
Ooh, sexy.
All right, Stephen.
Hello?
Time for the song.
I think I distracted him.
Yeah, you did.
Crack that whip. Give the...
That's Devo.
And it is...
That is Devo.
Yeah!
That is!
Break your mama's back.
How about that? All right, you hold on. We're going to do a drawing between just the two of you.
Yep.
We have DJ, we have Allison.
All right, I got to mix these up good.
All right.
All right. Let's see, the winner is... DJ!
DJ, yeah. The first guy.
Hi, thank you.
Girl.
Girl.
Hey, DJ.
Yes, girl.
Hi, DJ.
Congratulations.
Hi. Thank you.
Thank Mr. Hawking.
Thank you, Mr. Hawking.
You're welcome. Stephen Hawking.
Well, 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 7:37.
You need a weekend.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Yes, I do need a weekend.
Yes, you do.
And this weekend is pretty big because there's 17 hours of Lost on.
It is a Lost-a-thon on ABC this weekend.
Now, I didn't know this, but tomorrow night, Saturday night at 8, they're going to air the pilot for Lost.
No kidding.
The one where they wreck for the very first time.
The very first episode.
And then Sunday... There's a lot of Lost. Sunday, you're going to be pretty much in front of your TV. If you like the show, if you're invested, it's going to be a long time. 7 o'clock is something called The Final Journey, and that reviews the events and the cast members, and they discuss their experiences and stuff like that. It's kind of a recap, kind of a behind-the-scenes look.
And a history of.
2 hours, that is.
I'll watch.
Okay. Well, I think it'd be very helpful.
I'm watching.
Then at 9 o'clock, the end... is the series finale. This is how Lost wraps up, and that's 2.5 hours.
Wish it was more. Wish it was longer.
So now we're at 4.5 hours. And then Jimmy Kimmel Live, the Aloha to Lost special, we're going to talk to him a little bit later on this morning. He has Matthew Fox, who plays Jack, Terry O'Quinn, Locke, Michael Emerson, Ben, mm-hmm. Naveen Andrews, Saeed, Emile de Raven, Claire, Daniel Day Kim, Jorge Garcia, Josh Holloway, Evangeline Lilly. Is pretty much the whole cast on a Jimmy Kimmel Live special after that.
Saying goodbye. It must be so weird for this cast after 6 years of moving to Hawaii to work on the show, having it become a pop culture phenomenon, and then for it to be all over. I think I would be a little wigged out by that if I was them.
Yeah, I would think so too, but maybe it's a relief to some of them. I mean, it is a lot of pressure to... There's a lot of scrutiny. You know, people look at each episode and go, about this? What about that? You got to really get, you know, cross your T's and dot your I's to make sure everything is right.
Yeah. I just think, though, it's probably graduating from the best high school in the world, you know, and then you're done. And it's sort of like a now what feeling. I mean, whatever they go on to do, I can't imagine it'll ever compare to this experience.
So they all peaked. It's all downhill from here.
It's all downhill, yeah.
I'm just saying. It is. It's a big chunk of your life that's going to be changing.
It is. Of our lives as well.
Yeah,
how much time
have
we spent, you know, watching Lost?
And talking about it.
And
I wonder if people are going to have parties. You think people have big Lost watching finale parties?
I would guess so.
Yeah.
Serve, like, drinks and coconuts and stuff and everybody.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Put sand all over the living room and pretend you're on the island. Get some wreckage. Get some plane wreckage and just strew it about your house.
Sure.
Someone's got to punch in the number every 2 minutes.
Somebody at the computer is punching in the numbers.
Little statues of the Virgin Mary with heroin
with
in
heroin in it.
Oh, yeah. That's a party.
Right? I mean, you got to celebrate the whole thing.
Put a big plane teetering on the top of your house.
So, I mean, there are a lot of questions from 6 seasons.
Yeah. That won't be answered.
No, of course not. That's impossible.
There's no way they're going to try to answer all of them, obviously, because they wouldn't have time. But which ones are they going to answer is what everybody's been trying to speculate.
And what are the most important ones for you guys?
Well, I mean, in the last episode, you know, Jack decided, he talked to Jacob and said he was going to be the protector of the island.
He's volunteered, yeah.
Okay.
From the smoke monster who's trying to destroy the island.
Yeah.
So that is one I'm sure that they will try and figure out because Jacob is going to go. I don't know how Jacob came back with the fire, but when the fire burns out, Jacob's gone.
Right.
I don't know. But Jack is now the new protector of the island.
And they're going to have to try to kill Man in Black Smoke Monster. That's going to have to be the finale. It'll be the final battle between good and evil.
And they don't know how to kill Smoke Monster.
Yeah.
You shoot him with a gun, it doesn't faze
him. Yeah,
it
doesn't do anything.
Yeah. Even Jacob doesn't know how to. He knows everything.
And Jacob was his brother at one time.
Yes.
So
that's right, brother. That's right, brother.
Speaking of
it was brother. That's right, brother.
Speaking of which, we have on the phone right now Henry Ian Cusick.
Brother! You're right, brother.
You're excuse me, good brother.
So what does that mean, you then, brother?
Good luck, brother.
And I don't know about you, brother. As far as I can run, brother.
Brother.
Avoid temptation, brother.
What's all yours, brother?
I'm not so sure about that, brother.
I think your friends just blew themselves up, brother.
Can I ask you a question, brother?
Never gonna let go, brother.
Did you not hear me, brother? I'm trying, brother. But you saved my life, brother.
Are you alone, brother?
I'm afraid I missed that, brother. Don't mind me, brother.
Do you mind if I ask you a question, brother?
These things are not in my head, brother.
Hey, Doug, brother!
Try, brother.
So what's your angle, brother?
Brother?
Why fire this gun, brother?
Forgive me, brother.
You know, brother? Brother, Desmond. I'm sorry, brother.
I'm not gonna tell you, brother. I'll see you in another life, brother.
You're wasting your time, sister.
Hey, wait, what? Sister, what? What happened there? Henry, welcome to the show.
Good morning, brothers.
Yeah! Good morning, Henry. Of course, plays Desmond.
Say brother, too much. Damn.
No, we love it.
That's taken from a bunch of episodes.
Yeah, we've edited that together. Right. But it was that in the script or was that your little addition?
Yeah,
to...
that's in the script. You know, well, you guys know you're American, so you say brother a lot, right?
Sure.
Yeah.
Not as much as you.
Yeah, but I only say it because it only sounds strange coming out of my mouth because I have a Scottish accent.
Yeah.
All of it. You go, oh, brother. It's a very American thing, and especially in Hawaii, everyone says, hey, brah.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. It could have been worse. It could have been dude, like Hurley. If you said dude all the time, that would be weird.
Shall I find a Scottish accent?
We do have that montage as well.
See you next life, dude. It doesn't quite work.
All right, Henry, tell us about the Lost season finale. How does it end?
I don't think he can do that, Kevin. What? I don't think he can do that.
I can't do that, and you don't want me to do that, really.
I don't really.
You know, everyone's going to watch on Sunday, and I think people are very excited about it. You know, they say, how's it going to end? But they don't want to know. They want to watch it with whoever they're watching it and you know, squeeze all that information out from the screen and just revel in it. So
it sure seems, though, that Desmond is the linchpin at the center of this culmination, this battle between good and evil.
Desmond has an important role to play. You'll see in the finale is 2.5 hours, so there's a lot of other people that are going to come up and come on to the plate and have to do some pretty cool stuff.
Right, but they said you're the backup plan.
You're the fail safe.
I'm the fail safe, whatever that means. Yeah, but there's a whole bunch of stuff that's going to you'll see in the finale. But you're right, Desmond has a really important role to play. And he's very driven. He's very. He knows exactly, or he thinks he knows exactly what he's up to. So, it's been a very cool storyline they've given me for the last few episodes. Yeah.
When you first started working on Lost, Henry, was the character of Desmond? Did he originally have this arc, or did it kind of develop as you started shooting and working on the show?
No, you know, I was. I auditioned for this. I was in London. I put myself on tape, and they said it's going to be 3 episodes in Hawaii. And I thought, Hawaii, fantastic. I've never been there. And just to book it, I thought, wow, honey, I'm going to Hawaii for 3 weeks, for a month or whatever it was. And then it turned into this, this character, Desmond Hume. I think I've got to thank the fans. I've got to thank Damon and Carlton, really, for writing such a great part. But I had no idea it was going to turn into this.
You thought, I get a little vacation in Hawaii, I'm going to shoot a little something while I'm there.
Yeah, for me, that was good enough. But for it to be, to be involved with a show like this, I mean, I hit the jackpot. It really was, it's one of those gigs that actors dream about, 6 years, 5 years later on, to be involved in a show like this, one of the biggest shows in the world with a really cool storyline, And someone just said to me that it's being shown in something like 59 countries at the same time.
That's
just phenomenal. I had no idea that, it was so huge.
Now, in this last episode, you get arrested and you're there with Kate and who?
Saeed.
Right, yeah.
And they try to transfer you and you break them out. Here's a clip of that, and then maybe you can clarify a little bit.
I'm crazy. Because you want to get out of here or not?
So what, are you just going to tell the driver to stop? The
driver already knows where to stop. But when that happens, you're going to have to give me a trust.
Our trust.
That's right. Because after I set you free, I'm going to ask each of you to do something. And you're going to have to promise me that you'll do it. So what do you say?
Absolutely, I promise.
How about you?
Okay, sure.
All right, then.
There you go.
And Anna Lucia is driving the paddy wagon, which is awesome.
Yeah, that's cool to see her
come
back.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Now, we don't know what the favor is, right? So far.
Not yet. No, you'll find out pretty early on in the season in the next episode. Yeah.
Well, I know you're taking Kate to that concert where it looks like a lot of people are going to be meeting at that one moment, and I know Desmond is sort of the guy who's trying to bring the two realities together. So I'm assuming that culminates in the finale, right?
Well,
that's a good assumption.
It's so hard for these guys because they can't tell us anything about the story, and I don't mean to put you on the spot.
I don't want to ruin it, you know, but also, we understand, yeah, you know, but, you know, listen, you're on the right lines, you know.
Okay.
You always watch the show, and, you know, you're figuring out, you know.
We've put 6 years of our life into this show, and we're fascinated to find out what happens on Sunday. It's not possible for the show to answer all the questions, so we've been trying to speculate which questions will be answered. Can you give us any clue as to that? In the last one, Jack says he's going to be the protector of the island now. So that storyline moved along pretty quickly already.
You know, all I can say about the finale is when you're watching it, is give yourself over to the show. Don't expect that you're going to get answers. I mean, there's so many questions. I don't even know what the questions are, but if you focus on the details, you know, I think, you know, approaching it the right way. As fans, you know that, you know, after each episode, I'm sure you've turned to whoever you've been watching it with and debated what went on.
Yeah,
and
right.
And the same thing's going to happen in the finale. And I've been living with the ending of the show now for a month now, and it still resonates with me. And I've kind of just let it go, and it's become bigger. You know what I mean? The details aren't that important. It's become the bigger thing that's become important. And, you know, I just think there's a way of looking at it. You can get the most out of it, and that's probably the way to look at it. I hope. That's the way.
I got the sense that this final season they're just dealing with the bigger themes and what Lost is truly about, and that's fine with me.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think that you'll see it. It's a really beautiful way to go with this show.
Would you say we're going to be more happy or more baffled?
It depends on the person watching, I guess, right?
Yeah, it depends on what sort of person you are, but I know that there'll be debate.
Yeah, Kevin will be baffled.
I'm baffled by the easiest stuff.
But you'll be moved, I think. It's emotional. Yeah? It'll touch you. I hope it touches you.
Was it hard to say goodbye, Henry, at the end of production?
You know, we finished. We had a very long day. It was like 5:30 in the morning, a.m., and 5 o'clock-ish, and we'd been working all night. And it's been difficult. You know, it was the next day that it sort of hit me that I thought, wow, that was it. I'm done.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well.
And I'm sure, I'm still doing interviews. I'm still sort of. It doesn't really feel like I've let it go yet, you know.
Well, you're a brilliant actor, and I'm sure this will give you many more opportunities to be in other great projects.
Thank you, mate. I appreciate it.
No, not mate. Come on, brother.
Thank you, brother.
Harry and Cusick, the Lost series finale. This is the end of the show on ABC. Is going to air at 9 o'clock on Sunday night. It's a 2.5-hour special ending, and Henry, thanks for coming on the show today. You are fantastic.
Thank you. I hope you enjoy the finale. Yeah,
I think we will.
I'm sure we will. Thank you. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Just after the top of the hour, we're going to talk to Seth MacFarlane, one of our heroes, who of course came up with Family Guy, the best show on one of the best shows on TV, The Cleveland Show, American Dad.
My other boss.
Your other boss.
Yeah,
you're the one you enjoy.
Yeah, you know, so we got to talk about it with Seth, but he now has taken to directing. The actors, when we go in to record our lines for Family Guy, he directs from his office so we can multitask. So he listens to you reading your lines on a speaker while he's drawing and doing storyboards and everything. He's not even in the same room with you. But he doesn't have to be. That's the beauty of, you know, voiceover animation is he just needs to hear it. So he doesn't have to be in the booth anymore with you. He can direct from a distance.
How about that?
It's just like working for Howard Hughes or somebody who's just like one of Charlie's Angels. You just hear his voice over a speaker. Nope, do it again.
Does he exist anymore?
We're not sure. He might just be a brain in a bottle somewhere. We're not positive. All right, let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Well, looks like, sadly, Lindsay Lohan will not be going to jail after all.
I thought there was a warrant out for her arrest.
There was, but a $100,000 bond was posted for Lindsay yesterday, and so the warrant was recalled. So she has posted bail already, and she will not be arrested. Now, TMZ.com and other sources say she can remain free at large as long as she vows to stay sober and will wear an alcohol monitoring bracelet and submit to random drug testing at least once a week. That'll never happen.
It's not going to work.
I stopped reading the sentence that commits to stay sober, and I knew she was doomed.
Yeah.
So we'll have to wait and see. But she's still going to have to show up at court and get those rest of the classes done and stuff. So we'll see what happens. You think she could stay sober?
No.
I really don't think so.
It doesn't look like it. I hope, but it doesn't look like it.
MTV, fresh as today's headlines, has announced their brand new original series they're going to be airing on MTV. Teen Wolf, the series.
Teen Wolf, the series.
Yeah.
Based on Teen Wolf, the movie?
Based on the movie Teen Wolf from 1985.
Huh. Why so soon? Choice.
MTV is going to be making a modern television series based on Teen Wolf, as Dave the King of Mexico calls it.
Odd.
I thought it was odd, too, but we started talking about it in the production office, and I realized, I guess it's because of the Twilight thing with the werewolves and stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That craze has sort of come back. Even the Vampire Diaries is adding werewolf characters to that show, so I suppose wolves are hot again.
Wolves.
Oh, wolves.
I love wolves.
Oh, I like Teen Wolf. I'm going to watch it on the CW or even MTV.
King of Mexico does not say L's, ever.
And Men in Black 3 has just cast its villain.
Yes.
Tommy Lee Jones and Will Smith are returning for Men in Black 3D, which is the name of the film. It's going to be done in 3D. The villain will be played by our very own Flight of the Conchords, Jermaine Clement.
Oh, is my gosh.
Right?
Yes, he is the villain of the piece.
Wow. Oh, funny.
So, apparently, the show also involves some time travel.
Right.
And so James Brolin has been cast as a younger version of the character played by Tommy Lee Jones. Interesting casting.
Okay.
Sacha Baron Cohen apparently is rumored to have a role in the film as well, playing one of the aliens.
Wow.
So this could be very entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't read yet whether Barry Sonnenfeld will be returning as the director or not. I hope he will be, because he was sort of the heart and soul behind those movies.
Makes a big difference.
Good stuff. Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Because celebrities, they have birthdays.
They do.
They sure
and
do.
They end up on this list that I have
paper.
Here in front of me. Fairuza Balk from Waterboy and The Craft. She is 36 years old today.
Kevin is frantically looking for the bell.
There you go. Lisa Edelstein from House. She plays Cuddy on that show. She's 44. Judge Reinhold is 53. We mentioned his Beverly Hills Cop films, but we neglected to mention Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Of course.
One of the greatest self-gratification scenes in movie history.
Yes, it is.
And Mr. T! Mr. T is 58. I pity the fool. Pity the fool who got talked like this all the time because it hurts your throat. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Family Guy centers around a typical New England family.
You can't ask me to make dinner, Lois. It's like asking me to choose between Sarah Jessica Parker and Kirsten Dunst in a hot body weird face contest. It can't be done.
Yes, you have AIDS.
Not HIV, but full-blown AIDS.
Fat chicks need love, too, but they gotta pay.
I'm a bigger hit with the kids than Will Smith and his nice, clean rap.
Woo!
I respect women when I'm on a date. I take them to the park or maybe a museum, and I only try to kiss them if they're ready. Woohoo!
Fess up or I'll do to you what I did to John Lennon.
John, have you met Yoko? Yoko John?
They will clean up all your talking in a manner such as this.
They will make you take a tinkle when you wanna take a...
And they'll make you call fellatio a trouser-friendly...
They may just be neurotic or possibly psychotic. They're the fellas at the freaking FCC.
Seth MacFarlane.
Hey, hey.
Hey, boss.
How are you?
What's going on?
Ralph Garman, I don't believe it.
I know, how exciting.
I see this guy all the time.
We do. We got the big episode coming up this weekend. Something, something, something. Dark Side. The follow-up Star Wars spoof to Blue Harvest, of course. And I'm telling you, Seth, from the part that I've seen when I was recording some of my stuff, it looks to be even funnier than the first one.
It's, hey, Ralph, your stuff is the best part, man.
I was going to say, I think the medical droid at the end of the episode really is the standout of
the
whole
episode. That's the one?
Yeah.
You know, it's worth, Ralph just recorded a rather large guest spot for us in which he plays... An incredibly abusive boyfriend, and if there's any way to make that funny, Ralph has done it.
I got to tell you, that's what we love about Family Guy. It seems like almost every subject you tackle is really could go terribly wrong if you don't do it right.
We found in the past couple of years that there's a weird formula that kind of works for the show often, eerily often, and that's if we take the, you know, it worked with the abortion episode, which you'll see when it's released on DVD.
Can't wait.
It worked with this episode that I'm referring to. by taking like the plot of a Lifetime movie and doing like kind of an Airplane Mel Brooks kind of glaze over it,
right?
It makes for a really good episode that has some meat to it, you know, because there's an issue.
Sure.
And just has a bunch of great jokes and you know, you never quite cross over that line of being insensitive because you're actually telling a story. Yeah, you know, the show pisses a new group of people off every week.
You get a lot of complaints because it seems like, you know, a show like yours kind of has a reputation, kind of people know to expect that irreverence, so maybe they're not tuning in anymore, but
I don't know. I think they keep tuning in, and I think they're getting angrier.
Is that right?
They seem to go out of their way to be offended sometimes, these groups.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing that kind of surprises me what ticks people off. I cannot, on a weekly basis, predict what group is going to come after us next. This thing with the Vietnam War Memorial... It was out of left field. I'm an insensitive bastard, but I that one just completely surprised me. I just didn't think that was that.
I think both may be true.
The things in the show.
For those people who missed that episode, there is a scene where two Vietnam War vets are at the War Memorial in Washington, and there's a Vietnamese guy making fun of them, saying that they lost, basically, and mocking them openly. And it was just a brief little scene, but it was hilarious, and obviously meant to be a joke that pushes the envelope a little bit. People did kind of freak out.
Yeah, I mean, it's to take nothing away from the veterans. I mean, the guy who was... It was the guy who was screaming and yelling. It was being ridiculous.
Right.
But anyway, it's hard to predict.
I got to tell you, Seth, from our standpoint, our company has decided that they want to offend no one.
Yeah, ever.
And they tell us that as if that's possible.
Really?
Yeah, like, oh, yeah, let's just not offend anyone. And we say, look, that's the first thing you learn is that whatever you do, there's a group out there already organized that wants to get their feelings hurt.
Exactly.
That's just part of the equation.
Yes, the outrage industry.
Of course.
Yeah. Does that reaction, Seth, not to get off on a big tangent about this aspect of it, but does that reaction ever give you pause, or do you just say, we're going to do the best show we can do and be as funny as we can be?
Yeah, that's the way we look at it. You just can't avoid it. I mean, unless you're doing Little House on the Prairie, you know,
right.
Hell, I'm sure that show even offended some people.
Yeah. Blind people were cheesed off when Mary lost her sight, I think.
Exactly.
Sure. Very angry.
Exactly. That's
the ones that were watching.
right. Yeah, it's that's what they got closed captioning for.
That's right.
It's unavoidable. You're gonna piss off people who are just ready, waiting at the start gate, ready to get angry no matter what you do. And it's, you know, I think in some ways it draws attention to a particular special interest if they make noise about something.
Yeah. You got to give Fox a little love too, Seth, because they're pretty good about supporting you guys, aren't they?
Fox is great about, I can't stress this enough, that the Fox Broadcast Standards Department is, they are truly some of the smartest people in the business, and they're such supporters. I mean, they really do go out of their way. You would think with a show like this that we would have a contentious relationship.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
But they really do go out of their way to find ways to keep the show edgy and let us do as much as we can to keep the show funny and fresh while not, you know, getting fined millions and millions of dollars.
And on a side note, it's that people who love the show love. I mean,
yeah,
it's that edge.
And they understand that. You know, it's like they're not just covering their own asses. If anything, they're taking enormous amounts of heat for us.
So tell us about Family Guy Something 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 Dark Side.
That is, I mean, there's really no reason to watch it. It's already been released on DVD.
Okay, well, that's
well done.
You know,
way to pay Fox back.
If we're really being honest, no, it's
you know how to sell a show.
it's actually a fun show. It's obviously our second installment of the Star Wars episode. It's actually more complex and more visually stunning than the first one, I think, and it's a fun ride. Once again, you know, Lucasfilm has been great about letting us do this and do it to the hilt. And we threw a whole lot of money into it, so it's a great episode, and it'll excite viewers from start to finish.
It's a full hour. It's this Sunday at 9 o'clock on Fox. If you want to see that, tell us about your orchestra.
Yeah, well, this is kind of a fun thing. The big band, Ron Jones's Influence Jazz Orchestra, plays at Vibrato Jazz Club May 25th, and. Yeah, I go in and do Sinatra charts with these guys once every few months, and you know they're just a phenomenally great group. These are all the same musicians that play on Family Guy each week, actually.
Right.
And Ron Jones, who's one of our composers, has assembled about 20 of them into a fantastic jazz big band. And, you know, we play around town once every few months or so.
And for people who don't know, Seth is quite the singer. If you ever heard Brian do his duets with Frank Sinatra Jr. or any of the singing that's done on the show, that's all Seth. And you're really very good, Seth.
Oh, you're swell, Ralph.
No, it's true.
So you're singing standards. Are there people in the audience that are going to be going, hey, give us that AIDS song. Sing that one.
you know, oddly enough, it's that has yet to happen.
All right.
It's definitely a jazz loving crowd that comes to these things, which is kind of great because it's just, you know, there's no pressure to to break into Shapoopy.
So that's this coming Tuesday, May 25th at 9 o'clock at the Vibrato's Jazz Club in Bel Air.
That's the beauty of being a billionaire TV mogul, Seth, is you can make your little fantasies like this come true.
It really is.
And Seth, on another side note, I worship your show. I really think your show is awesome. We didn't need the Stewie and Brian episode.
It was really amazing.
I'm a little upset about the diaper.
I love the show so much, and yet that one could have been left out.
You know, was it? Were you grossed out, or you just were kind of bored?
No, I was grossed out.
No one could be bored by that.
There's no way to be bored by that.
You know, dogs eat crap.
That's true.
Right, I know, but I'm just saying. But we don't have to watch it. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying. Every other episode is gold. Did you have to throw that one in?
We didn't have to. We do it because we enjoy it.
Okay. All right.
Because you're a sick man.
Fair enough. That's what we like about your show. All right. Family Guy season finale again this Sunday night, 9 o'clock on Fox. And if you want to see Seth sing with the Influence Jazz Orchestra, that is this coming Tuesday, May 25th at 9 o'clock at the Vibrato's Jazz Club in Bel Air. Seth, we don't have you on nearly enough. We love your program, and thanks for coming on today.
Hey, thanks, you guys.
Thank you. Bye now. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday morning, and that means it's time for the movie.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Big weekend at the local Cineplex. We got some monster movies. Now that summer is here, at least when it comes to the movies, we're going to see weekend after weekend after weekend of big budget actions and comedies and all kinds of good stuff to check out.
Great.
Shrek Forever After opens up this weekend. It is the fourth and final in the Shrek franchise. Mike Myers has to be bummed because he's out now. He's burned through Austin Powers, Love Guru is a bomb. This was his big deal.
Yeah.
And now it's all over. Cameron Diaz returns, as does Eddie Murphy. It's Shrek and Rumpelstiltskin is the new character in this show, and apparently all the old characters are back, Puss in Boots and all your favorites. Here's a scene with Eddie Murphy, who is always very funny as Donkey in these films, discovering waffles in the forest. How good does that sound? I'm so hungry.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Don't eat that! Mm. There's a stock of freshly made waffles in the middle of the forest. Don't you find that a wee bit suspicious?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're gonna...
Get away from it!
You're dead.
Mm. Donkey!
Are you okay?
I'm fine. Ah!
Get in my belly!
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, this is a no-brainer. If you got kids, they're definitely going to want to check out Shrek. And I believe it's in 3D, so you can see those waffles as if they're right in your lap. And you can say, please, eat some waffles out of my lap. You can say that to your date. MacGruber! Also opens this weekend. Will Forte of Saturday Night Live, his SNL friend Kristen Wiig, also co-starring. Yeah, you know the premise. MacGruber. You've seen it on Saturday Night Live. MacGruber's an ex-special operative who has called back into action to take down his arch nemesis, played by Val Kilmer. The character's name is, now listen very carefully to the character's name.
Okay.
So you know exactly what I'm saying.
All right.
It is Dieter von Kunth.
C-U-N-T-H.
Are you serious?
That
really?
Is his name. Dieter von Kunth.
With an N.
Yes.
And a th.
More importantly than the N.
Good point. The N is irrelevant.
The N really is.
The N is irrelevant.
Not what I'm trying to focus on.
With an H.
It's a th at the end I'm talking about. Here's the scene from the movie. Vicky St. Elmo, played by Kristen Wiig, has to pull a bullet out of MacGruber's shoulder while he's in the action, and hilarity ensues.
I'm going to remove the bullet now. Do you want to bite down on this?
I deserve pain.
You're being too hard on yourself.
Or maybe the colonel was right. Maybe I've lost it. Why do you stick around?
Because I believe in what you're doing. You're an amazing man. You're gorgeous. You have a perfect body, a great sense of style. You're smart and brave. Better get you sewn up.
No. I like holes.
I'm a virgin.
Not for long.
I'm a virgin. Apparently, this is, we were talking to Ryan Phillippe earlier in the week, who also stars this film. This is a very hard R comedy, so.
That makes me want to see it so much more.
It's just for the grown-ups. Don't bring your kids to MacGruber. And lastly, we talked to the director of this documentary earlier in the show. It is called Best Worst Movie. It is a documentary about the phenomenon that has become the cult classic movie Troll 2. Michael Stevenson, who played the little kid in the original Troll 2, is back directing a documentary about the rabid fans and whatever happened to the cast and crew of this movie. I know documentaries are sometimes a hard sell, but this is a wildly entertaining film that will really make you want to seek out and find Troll 2 and to watch it. It is one of the worst movies ever made, Troll 2. Features an actor named Don Packard, who played the crazy sort of general store owner in this film. He's supposed to be spooky. It turns out we didn't know how spooky he was, because while he was making Troll 2, it turns out he was also clinically insane. Here is Don talking about the fact that he would pull himself out of the nut hatch to go film.
I was in the mental hospital at the University of Utah, and they gave me days off to go out. I called my agent. She said, they're shooting a movie out in Park City, an Italian film company, and you go out there. I won't charge you if you get the part. I went there. They said, come back again. And when I came back, they said, the person who was supposed to do it didn't show up, so you can do it.
Adds a little horror to your horror movie when the guy's actually nuts who's playing a crazy person.
Goes back to the insane asylum at night and then comes back in films.
Wow.
It's a great film. It reminds me of all those Christopher Guest movies, this documentary, only this actually happened. If you like bad movies that are so bad they're good, you would definitely want to check out Best Worst Movie locally here in L.A. It's playing at the New Art Theater, but you can find it around the country. Seek it out. It's definitely worth checking it out. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Ralph Garman Movie Beat.
That is over. It's 106.7 K-Rock, K-R-O-Q. It's 8:57. This is the Kevin and Bean Show, and Ralph is here with another look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, apparently now we know why Megan Fox quit Transformers 3. Michael Bay was verbally abusive to her.
What?
Really?
Apparently on the set, he was quite the dick. And she didn't think she could be up for it again for a third round of taking his crap.
Is this a third party telling you this, or is this
her? This is sources close to the production.
Okay.
Are telling LA Times. Hmm. He's got a bit of a history of being sort of a dick. And apparently the same thing happened to Kate Beckinsale when she was doing Pearl Harbor.
What? Is that right? You treat her, not Kate Beckinsale.
This guy's not good. Making pretty girls angry.
No.
Making them sad. So now we know a little bit more about the reason she won't be returning to Transformers 3. With that in mind, it is a huge franchise, of course. Big hit movies. And so that makes it a very hot commodity for a young actress to get the role that has been vacated as the love interest of Shia LaBeouf in that film.
Right.
Guess who wants it? Heidi Montag.
Yeah!
Yeah, us Weekly reports that she wants to be an action movie star.
No.
Action. That's the least that she can't possibly do anything that involves action.
No, not with the 10 surgeries she's had.
And the giant breasts
that have crippled her body.
Ugh. She's insane.
She's just recently tweeted this week that she thinks Michael Bay is a brilliant genius.
Yes.
Brilliant and a genius.
Yeah. So she's trying to kiss up to Michael Bay, hoping that he'll give her the nod. She'll take over as the love interest in Transformers 3.
I have a song about Michael Bay if you'd like to hear it.
Oh, sure.
Mike's a dick, dick, dick. Wow. What a dick,
really?
Dick, dick. Mike's a dick, dick, dick.
That's all?
That's it. Yeah, that's all we have time for. Speaking of casting, I mentioned that during a prequel of Planet of the Apes, where we get to see how the apes rise up against humanity and take over the planet.
Right.
In fact, it's called Rise of the Apes. Well, Daily Variety announces that James Franco will be the star of that film. The movie will be set in present-day San Francisco, and we'll see a lab's experiments in genetic engineering go awry when they develop a race of super-intelligent apes who turn against their masters.
I rented Rise of the Apes over the weekend.
Did you?
And I'm not the same.
Has nothing to do with it?
I'm very disappointed.
Damn you, apes! Trying to get a role in that movie, too. Worked for Sharktopus, though maybe sure. The Planet of the Apes prequel. Why not? And Olivia Munn.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Hi! One of our favorites. We've had her on the show plenty of times. She is leaving Attack of the Show. She's moving over to the Peacock Network. That's NBC.
NBC?
Yeah, she's going to do a sitcom over there, a romantic comedy called Perfect Couples.
She did not have a perfect attendance record at Attack of the Show.
Her career did seem to be expanding beyond the parameters of that show.
By quite a bit.
So it's probably best for everybody. And that Kevin Peralta, whatever his name, he's looking around saying, hey, what about me?
Hey, but I'm still here.
Pereira? Pereira? Guerrero?
Guerrero! Yeah!
He's pretty decent, too, by the way.
Yeah. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Actor Mr. T.
Woo!
You can't just call him an actor. He's more than an actor.
He is.
He's a force of nature. He's an icon. He's an American classic. He's a national treasure.
National treasure.
More of a Mr. T protector.
Yeah!
He is 58 years old today. Judge Reinhold celebrates his 53rd birthday. Lisa Edelstein.
Oh, my God.
From House, she plays Cuddy on that show. She is the sexiest hospital administrator I've ever seen. Yeah, I've been spending a lot of time at a hospital recently with my kids. I've never seen anyone like Dr. Cuddy walking down the hallway.
No one dresses like that?
No.
In general, that's
not with the pencil skirt and the giant push-up bra and just all that going on.
That's not where you go for attractive.
I'll tell you, though, there's some hot nurses in the NICU.
Yeah?
I got to say that.
All right.
You know, you're a little preoccupied when you're in the NICU. Sure. Not really thinking about that stuff. Every once in a while, I go, hey, damn. Just say that sort of under your breath. And then your wife squirts in the eye with breast milk.
Yeah!
Nice.
Faruka Balk, what? Faruza Balk from The Waterboy and The Craft and American History X.
Yeah. Oh,
she's a good actress. She's 36 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
This is The Kevin and Bean Show. What does this music think? Make you think of?
Oh, my God.
I so love 24. I'm so disappointed that it got canceled.
I know.
So disappointed. But we have Gregory Itzen on the phone. Hi, Gregory.
Hi, how are you doing?
Very good, thank
You're
you.
Playing my song, I noticed.
That was your song, yeah.
Yes, indeed.
How many seasons ago were you the president?
Well, this is season 8, and I was the president, actually the end of season 4 and all of season 5.
And was it a surprise that you got a call this year from them saying, we want you to come back, or did you kind of...
Yeah, no, it was a delightful surprise.
You didn't have any idea?
Oh, you know, no, I didn't really have any idea. I had been, I don't want to belabor this, but I'd been talking, you know, you make friends when you do these things, and Howard Gordon, the producer, and I had kept in touch, and I would occasionally lobby, saying, Logan has got to come back, but I gave that up because I thought it sounded too much like begging.
Right.
And then they surprised me. They said, we found a place in the last season, because they have to make it about story, and they found a way to bring Logan back.
And it's been a brilliant storyline. They're trying to sign a peace accord, peace treaty,
yeah.
And the Russians don't want to do that. They're completely against it, and they're working behind the scenes, and you, as the former president, have all the information.
Well, I have a lot of it. I even to the very end of the season, I wasn't sure exactly how much information I had, as much as they wrote me to have.
Right, sure.
Yeah.
And Jack Bauer is not happy because his love, Renee Walker, has been shot by someone in the Russian delegate, and he knows that you know.
Yes, he does.
Who that is?
Yes, we found
and Jack Bauer kidnapped you.
Mm-hmm.
What? How do you do that? How do you kidnap a former president? But Jack Bauer did it.
Jack Bauer can do pretty much anything, I believe.
He really can. Why don't we just make him president?
That's a great idea.
I mean, he can do anything that he wants to do outside of the government. But here's the scene where Jack gets you and is trying to find out some information.
You know the name of the person inside the Russian government who's giving the orders. I want that name.
Jack.
Give me that name. Jack. You got 5 seconds before I put a bullet through your head.
You don't have to do that.
Five.
I'll tell you.
Four.
Mikhail Novikovich. He's the head of the Russian delegation. He's been trying to kill the peace treaty from the start.
Yes, that works, by the way. I don't know if anyone has noticed, but if you put a gun to someone's head and start counting.
That's right. Talk flowing out of your mouth.
That works.
Absolutely.
No matter what people say. How has it been working with this cast as the, you know, as everybody knows, the series finale is wrapping up?
You mean how's the mood on
yeah,
the set?
Yeah, how's the mood?
Thing? We're all aware of it. It's in the back of our minds, but you can't be thinking about that as the show goes on. You know, this is Mary Lynn said it the other day, and I think Kiefer said it too. This crew has been together for most of the years, and there's such a sense of family. They vacation together. We all party together. Some amazing times have been had. So there's a sadness. Let alone the fact that we're all going to be looking for the next job.
Sure.
We'll miss each other strongly. I mean, it is a really strong group, and so. Every time anybody was finishing up their stint, I mean, the night that I did my last night of work, it was very emotional. I made sure that there was Irish whiskey flowing freely. but it's been very sad and bittersweet. I mean, you know, like I've said, it's had a great run. So, I mean, it's not like, and it's going out on top, I think, this. The ending of the show is just, it kicks ass, if I may say
so. It's been kicking ass for the entire season.
Yeah.
And I remember watching the very first hour of 24.
In the first year?
Yeah, first year.
Yeah, I did
so have
too.
You been watching it all this
the
time?
The whole time.
Bless you.
And I remember thinking to myself, that hour was so good.
Yeah.
There's no possible way they're going to be able to top that or even match it next week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was the first episode of the first season.
Yeah. And it's gotten better as they know what they're doing and you know, and as Kiefer owns his character more and more, and he certainly does, it's just gotten, you know, better and better. I mean, I think that they had a little lapse in six. Things kind of got,
right.
What are we doing here? But they brought it back strong, and I think this is an amazing season.
Yeah. And one of the things they do best is the characters in the show are super, super strong,
yeah.
And you don't see the traitor in the group of people almost ever.
Yeah.
You know, even if you were to sit there and go, I know there's a traitor, it always goes up higher each hour you find out there's a traitor higher in the government.
Mm-hmm.
You can never kind of predict who it's going to be.
Well, part of that is delightfully so, though it can irritate some actors. I liked it. They don't let you know.
They don't let you
know that you're the best. I mean, in season five, when I turned out to be the, quote, mastermind of all the mayhem,
right.
I didn't find out until, like, episode 14 or something like that, that in episode 16 it was going to be revealed. So you don't know that that's going on through most of the, well, at least I didn't know that that's who I was until they told me. And then you have to sort of go back and look at everything you did and find out how you can own that
right.
For what comes after that. So, you know, they're very smart. They're very smart. They keep you in suspense. They don't let you know what's going to happen.
Do you think that they do it that way because they don't want you to play it with some kind of a foreshadowing?
I'm sure.
Give it away?
Absolutely. That is true. I think sometimes that happens because they don't know themselves. They
right.
kind of write in 8-show blocks, the first 8, the second 8, the third 8. And so, though I think they may know, I don't live in their head, so I'm not sure. I think they may know what the end game kind of is. They don't really know what it is until they see how characters interact, what you bring to the character that they're writing that they might be able to
right.
wedge or lean on or make something else out of down the line. So,
well, you can certainly see that this is the series finale because Jack Bauer is committing crimes at an amazing rate.
He's frighteningly out there. I mean, the other night when he gutted that Russian terrorist.
Good times.
I couldn't sit in my chair. A lot of people tell me they can't watch 24 sitting down.
Right.
I'm with my jaw just. I mean, because I had read it and thought, oh, this is going to be insane. But when I actually saw it, I said, oh, geez.
Yeah.
There's going to be blogs about this tomorrow.
Well, I'll tell you, it's an amazing series. How many? There's this Monday, and then there's
That's
one
it.
More.
That's it.
Oh,
two hours. 24 will end on the 24th.
Oh, how about that?
How appropriate.
What a shame, but it's been fantastic TV and a great ride.
Yeah, I've been very proud to be and happy and to be a part of it.
Man, you've been great, Gregory. Thanks for taking the time to talk to us.
Thank you very much. All right. Have a good day.
Thanks. Bye. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 25 minutes after 9 o'clock.
You're listening to Smooth Jazz.
No, it's the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And it's the Jimmy Kimmel Show.
Yeah.
Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, do you guys mind if I eat cereal through the interview?
Not at all.
Oh, that kills me. I'm so hungry, Jim.
Wait a minute, but hold on a second.
What are you eating? What kind of cereal?
Yeah, what cereal?
What kind of cereal? Let's see. Will you grab that box of cereal?
You don't know what you're eating?
Oh, you're not going to like this. Nature's Path Organic Flax Plus Red Berry Crunch Omega 3.
Oh, my God.
What a tremendous homo you are.
What happened to you?
I don't know, because I guarantee you there's no better for you than Lucky Charms.
What happened to Chocolate Lucky Charms, the best one on?
I don't know. There are no cartoon characters or anything on the box.
What's the point, then?
Why did you buy that?
I don't know.
Well, stop it.
I'm trying not to die.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Ever?
Well, that's the goal.
All right, Jimmy.
Clean colon. You know what that means. Good life.
Jimmy has a special on Sunday night, Aloha to Lost.
I think every show of Jimmy's is special.
Thank you, Ralph.
You're welcome, Jim.
Jimmy has a special.
There we go.
On Sunday night. And basically, Lost is taking over the entire network of ABC. You got your two-hour recap and kind of behind-the-scenes look.
Mm-hmm.
Don't watch that.
Don't.
Okay, don't watch that. Okay. Right. And then
just focus on. In fact, you don't even need to watch the finale. You skip right to the post-finale.
And then the finale is 2.5 hours. And then the post-finale is Jimmy Kimmel. And you have pretty much the entire Lost cast on your show.
And let's not forget the post-post finale with Byron Allen after that.
Is there one? I was not aware.
You have, glad to see Byron's working again.
You have Matthew Fox, who plays Jack. You have Terry O'Quinn, Michael Emerson, Naveen Andrews, Emily DeRaven. You got, Evangeline Lilly.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Josh Holloway, Evangeline Lilly. Daniel Day Kim, Evangeline Lilly, so Jorge Garcia. It's going to be quite a show.
Yeah, it should be good. It's I said this as a joke, but I really fear that I'm going to be the only one upset enough to shed a tear because I think they're all just happy to be off the island.
It's been a long run for them and for you.
And you know, at the beginning, I think everybody was really excited. You know, we're on the show. It's becoming a hit. We never imagined it would. We all live in this tiny little place together. And then time goes by and, you know, as it goes with a group of people.
Yes.
You stop watching the show together. And
start annoying each other.
Yeah, you kind of get sick of pineapples and coconuts and you want to get back to the mainland. And I think they're all happy to be back here.
Well, I got to tell you, it sounds like it's going to be a great show. You have been a huge proponent of Lost. You've done how many interviews? You went to Hawaii a couple times, didn't you?
I went to Hawaii, once to interview the cast. But yeah, we've had them on like a million times. I don't know what I'm going to do when the show's over. I really don't.
You don't know what you're going to do as far as watching TV, you mean?
Well, as far as just conducting my life and having conversations with people.
Well, now your show has to revolve around Cougar Town.
You probably, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah. Just have Courtney Cox on every other week.
A lot of secrets
week.
On that show.
Yeah. What's going on with the bald guy? Why is he playing that guitar? There's a lot of mysteries.
Now, Jimmy, you're, of course, an insider at ABC.
Thank you.
So,
thank you for finally acknowledging that.
So how does it end?
How does what end?
Lost.
Oh, I don't know.
You haven't watched it?
In fact, I get the idea that a lot of the cast members don't know.
No kidding.
I get the idea that my guess, and this is purely a guess, is that, you know, obviously Jack's kind of the center of the show.
Right.
And I think he might be one of the only ones who knows when how it ends exactly.
I did hear they were giving the actors just their sides, just their parts that they had to perform in the final episode so they wouldn't know, get the whole script.
Yeah, you'd think they'd kind of talk, but I think they kind of like not knowing because then they can just say, I don't know, and then people don't bother them as much.
Right.
Didn't they shoot some alternate endings as well to make sure it would stay secret?
Yeah, I think they want, I don't know if they're considered or they want to throw people off, but we're going to have those on the show after the Lost finale.
You're going to have the alternate endings?
Yes.
And are those the ABC Lost alternate endings, or are those the Jimmy Kimmel alternate
endings?
Well,
you'll have to see.
Yeah. All right, good.
I just think Uncle Frank's going to end up being the smoke monster.
I can promise you that Uncle Frank is not a monster.
This sounds awesome, Jimmy. I'm sorry to hear that you're a biggest fan as we are of Lost. It really does suck that it's kind of going away.
It does suck, I know. But I'm really excited to see the end, but I really don't want it to be over.
Yeah.
I guess it's better than it just kind of like, remember how much we loved the X-Files and the X-Files came on and we're so into it?
Loved it, yeah.
Yeah.
And then they started like replaying, like Fox Mulder got replaced and it just kind of petered out. And then
yeah.
It was like, I'm glad this isn't happening with Lost. I am.
They're not doing it. They're certainly not doing that with Lost. They are building up like I've never seen before.
Jim,
yeah.
Jim, are you going to have Carlton and Lindelof and those guys on the show too, or just the cast?
They're on tonight.
Oh, they're tonight.
And Carlton are on the show tonight. They refuse to speak after the show airs.
Is that right?
Yeah, I don't know if that's a good sign or not, but
they don't want to hear it.
Well, I think they just want to let it speak for itself, and they don't want to have to explain it.
Right.
Maybe it sucks.
Well, I don't know. Maybe.
I mean,
no,
you ever thought of that?
There are going to be some fans who are going to bother them forever asking for the answers to questions that don't get wrapped up in the finale. So.
I see that as their problem.
Right. And they see that as their problem, too. That's why they're not coming on the show afterwards.
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to. In fact, I've kind of like off the record talked to a few people, and they all say, oh, it's good. You know, they won't say what it is, and I don't really want to know what it is, but they say it's good.
It sure seems like when you have a series like this that has built up so much momentum, it's slacked, you know, for a little bit, but for the most part, the people that watch it have been watching it the entire series.
Yeah.
It seems like the final episode would be impossible to deliver on because of your expectations being, you know, 6 years on or whatever.
It does, but we said the same thing about Small Wonder, and you know they wrapped it all up.
Yeah, they pulled it off.
And they did it well.
Yep,
you're right. I didn't think about Small Wonder.
You got to think about
that. Oh, that cereal, Jim.
What cereal are you eating again?
Again, it's Nature's Path Organic Flax Plus Red Berry Crunch Omega-3 with actually has little chunks of fertilizer in it.
Oh yeah.
What have you done with Jimmy?
Okay. Now with new dried placenta.
Don't worry, Jimmy shows up at about noon when lunch hits the table.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Breakfast not necessarily when you're alive.
Exactly. You know what? Jimmy was eating a giant bowl of pasta at about 1 in the morning last
night. Okay,
that's
good.
Our boy.
Yeah.
That's who we know. All right, so don't watch the 7 o'clock recap.
Well, you know, if you're going to pick something to watch, I think you focus on me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm doing, actually? I'm having a little, viewing party, you know, because we have to watch the show.
Right.
We're making wild boar and macaroni and cheese.
Wild boar?
Yeah, because that's what they eat on the island.
Yeah, and the mac and cheese.
You doing that at your house?
Yeah.
Jimmy has, Jimmy's a strange guy, because when you go over to his house to watch football, he's in the kitchen the whole time. He's cooking.
He's not watching football?
No, he's Italian.
Well,
he's
got TVs in the kitchen as well,
okay.
So he can watch football, but... But that's his thing.
That's what he loves.
So you're gonna be cooking up a pig.
Yep. A wild boar.
You gonna fill your house with sand and put pieces of wreckage around too to make it feel right?
I am now.
Now that you have the idea. Well, it looks like it's gonna be a long Sunday night, I'll tell you that. But
well, it is gonna be long, but I think it'll be worth it. We really have some good things planned, and I think people will like the show after the finale.
Jimmy Kimmel Live, Sunday night, 12:05 ABC, Aloha to Lost, and he's got pretty much the entire cast on the program. Are you doing a song?
No.
You're famous
that's a good idea, though. Again, where were you like 3 weeks ago, Ralph?
You come up with song ideas all the time. Come on, dude.
I don't know. There'll probably be no songs. No songs, but there'll be a lot of sharing.
Okay.
Oh, good.
A lot of hugging?
Perhaps.
And you're going to be the one sobbing, and everybody else is going to be like, what the?
I'll be sitting there like a little girl at her birthday party, crying in the cake.
All right, Jimmy, it's always good to have you on.
All
and
right.
Thanks, and we'll watch your show on Sunday night or whatever.
Thank you. Thank you for doing that.
No worries.
See you, Jim.
Thanks.
Hey! Nope.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 9:43. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is here for a final look at the showbiz beat for today.
I'd like to make a little correction from earlier in the day.
Okay.
Got a little phone call from the people over there at G4.
Oh!
Folks are involved with Attack of the Show.
Yes.
Miss Olivia Munn is not leaving Attack of the Show.
Hey! As you reported for three different...
Earlier.
Yes.
She is going to do both.
Okay.
So, fans of Attack of the Show, do not worry. Olivia Munn is not going anywhere. She will keep the same schedule that she's always kept, which is she shows up about every 4 days.
Once every couple of weeks.
You'll be able to enjoy that. So, my bad.
Okay.
Oops.
Happens.
Happens. Looks like Lindsay Lohan isn't going to be going to jail after all. Oh, lesbian female prisoners everywhere are weeping.
No kidding.
She posted $100,000 bail yesterday. It was posted for her. And so the warrant for her arrest was recalled. However, the judge still isn't impressed that Lindsay has flaked out of her scheduled court appearance. She did not really buy that the passport was stolen and or lost, but she said that Lindsay can remain free at large if she vows to stay sober, wear an alcohol monitoring anklet or bracelet, and submit to drug testing at least once a week.
Easy.
Just put her in jail now.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's save us all some time. Because yeah. You know what's not going to happen? She's not going to stay sober. That's all. Bad news. Bono has had emergency surgery.
Oh.
What?
Apparently he seriously hurt his back in Germany and had to undergo emergency surgery.
Wow.
And in Germany is not the place you want to undergo emergency surgery, by the way.
Human because centipede.
They
turned
they turned him into a human centipede.
filling in for Bean, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I apologize.
No, I was sort of blissful, and I had a week where no one was stepping on my toes, but I guess it's good to get me back in shape for Monday.
Why doesn't he want to do it in Germany?
Because you have to be careful with those German doctors, Kevin.
Why?
I know one guy who turned people into a human centipede.
Much better.
The edge's ass is sewn to Bono's face. You don't want that.
I kind of do.
The band's manager announces we will make plans to reinstate the dates of the tour that have to be canceled as soon as possible, which includes a date for Salt Lake City and a couple other locations as well. They're currently on their 360-degree world tour, and so he's going to have to spend a few days in the hospital at least till his back heals up. Nice work, Kevin.
Wow. I didn't do anything.
Yeah, right.
It was me.
MTV's making a series out of Teen Wolf. The movie from 1985. They're going to make an original series on MTV featuring a high school student who turns into a wolf. Dubious, but go for it, MTV.
I guess it makes sense, though, considering the resurgence of vampires and werewolves.
Courtney Love says she had lesbian sex with Kate Moss.
Fantastic.
I am half turned on.
I'm neither turned on.
She says that it was in the 90s, happened in Milan.
Kate Moss is the ugliest supermodel ever, right? You're with me.
She's kind of like ugly hot, though.
There's
some
know.
Photos of her where she looks just stunning, but it is a very exotic sort of look. It's not
a lot of photos where she doesn't look stunning.
It's not the healthy, curvy, like Victoria's Secret style supermodel. She's obviously a high fashion model, but I think when she's photographed right and made up right, she has a certain appeal.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never seen that.
Courtney says she's
fat.
It's true.
Courtney Love said she's not talking out of turn because Kate has talked about it before, but it was fun and whatever, she says.
Yeah, well, there's that.
Hear that, ladies? George Lopez, speaking of sex, National Enquirer interviewed a hooker by the name of Tiffany who claims that George Lopez paid her for some of her favors.
Hmm.
All right.
George Lopez is married, of course. In fact, his wife gave him a kidney back in 2005 to keep him alive.
All wrong.
That's even worse than the average wife being angry at a husband for cheating.
Better hope this isn't true.
George, by the way, says he never paid the girl for sex. He paid her to laugh at his jokes, which does make more sense because who would do it for free? And the movie Men in Black 3 is in production. I'm actually looking forward to this. I'm not a big sequel guy, but I think there's more.
They're fun.
Yeah, more comedy to be mined out of the Men in Black trilogy. And it looks like the evil alien, the lead in the movie, who the Men in Black have to go up against, will be played by Jermaine Clement of Flight of the Conchords.
He's funny.
And he looks like an alien.
Sure.
And he acts like one. Mm-hmm. He's a weird dude. I think it's a good choice. Other cast members, apparently Sacha Baron Cohen is rumored to have a role in the movie. Nothing has been confirmed yet. James Brolin, apparently also in the film. He can also be very funny. Did you ever see The Goods, that movie Jeremy Piven did about selling used cars?
I wanted to, didn't have
James
time.
Brolin was in that and was very, very funny.
Oh, yeah?
I think he He should do more comedy. Mm-hmm. Men in Black 3 will be actually entitled Men in Black 3D.
Really? What a surprise.
So, but that's the kind of movie I think would really benefit from 3D. So look forward to checking that out. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Fairuza Balk from The Waterboy and The Craft and American History X. She is 36 years old today. You can see her boobies in American History X.
Yeah.
I'm being told no bell from the other room.
Really?
Yeah.
Again, I think she's sort of weird looking hot. I think she's like exotic hot. Maybe Mike has, you're just too broad.
I back you.
Let me see how little I can.
If Mike backs me, you know how narrow his taste is.
It's a little tiny bell.
It is. Okay. It's a Tinker Bell. Lisa Edelstein from House plays Dr. Cuddy on that show. She is 44 years old today. Best ass on television, in my opinion. It's pretty
hard to argue.
Pretty thought about that, but
at least in a skirt, anyway. Judge Reinhold is 53 years old, and Mr. T is 58. Can't wait for that new AT movie.
Oh, that looks so good.
Really looks like they know what they're doing there. Looking forward to seeing that. I'm Ralph Garman. Have a good weekend, everybody. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Monday morning, just before the series finale of 24, we're going to talk to Mary Lynn Rajkub, who's going to be in our studios.
Mm.
She plays Chloe.
Mm-hmm.
Can we play Stump Chloe?
Probably.
Good, sure. I love that.
Also, Harvey Levin from TMZ.com. What are you bringing in?
What are you bringing in?
Nobel.
Wow.
Nobel?
This is
okay,
this
that's
is Fruit
one
the Bach.
Photo.
Oh, ouch.
This is,
I haven't
photo,
seen her recently.
Ouch.
But that doesn't look good.
Took it back.
She used to look better.
She used to look way better than that.
Yeah, she
Maybe
did.
That's just a bad picture.
It could be.
Yeah. Also on Monday, we'll discuss the series finale of Lost, and we'll have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Yeah.
So join us on Monday morning. Have a great weekend, everybody. And we will see you on Monday.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
We're so high right now.
We're not low.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
The best tonic is chronic.
Roll another one.
You are so faded.
Just like the other one.
Do you have any marijuana I might be able to buy from you?
This one seems to be about to quit.
I guess if we're going to feel anything, we should smoke a whole bunch of it really fast.
They're out cruising around, so watch out. They're on the road, so be careful. And have your seatbelts on.
Yeah.
Hey, don't forget to register to vote,
right.
too.
Yeah.
Roll.
Yeah, clicking her ticket.
Roll.
Are you high?
No.
Look at me with your bloodshot eyes.
Just like the other one. This one seems to be about to I don't have another cent.
What are you, high? Timing.
But the one guard can joint.
Butt hash.
Just pass it around.
Man, I'm so high.
But the one guard can joint, my friend.
Perfect.
Just pass it on down.
Pass it on.
Done?
I think that's it.
You get the hell out!
Cut, print, gay.
Hey, you boys leave. You can't come back.
Oh, gee. You hear that? If we leave, we can't come back.
Oh, no. What should we do?
All right. Stop that. That's just ridiculous. Cut that. Enough of that. Boo. Get out. Get out of the DJ booth. That's enough.
Well, what did everybody think?
That stunk.
Worst episode ever.
So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.